Once a month, we hear what it is like to live with mental illness. Our guides are the people of Southern Oregon Compass House in Medford. It's built on the clubhouse model of community mental health care. It's a place where people with persistent mental illness come together to support each other and their shared place. This month, we hear the story of Anastasia, who's feeling very good about her life right now, but it took a while to get to this point.
I moved to Southern Oregon when I was 12 years old, when my mom married my stepdad. And we lived in Grants Pass for a while. Well, my parents still live in Grants Pass. But I moved away from home and went to Southern Oregon University for 6 years to get my undergraduate and graduate degree from SOU. I got my undergraduate in elementary education, and my master's is a dual emphasis in special education and English for speakers of other languages.
I understand your current field of work is right in line with your degree, right?
Yes, I am working in special education right now.
How long have you been working there?
I've been with the Medford School District for almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years on March 3rd, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Tell me a little bit about your mental health issues that you've struggled with as you've been getting all these degrees and saving the world.
Well, my official diagnosis is bipolar 2 and BPD, which is borderline personality disorder. And I think I've been struggling with those since I was a teenager. I've always had kind of an up and down nature. I've always been a little volatile. But I didn't get officially diagnosed until I was at SOU. So I was, what, about 19, 20 when I got diagnosed?
Okay.
And right away they put me on medications. And it was definitely up and down journey to find the right ones. But I think finally, for about the last year, I finally found the perfect combination of meds and therapy, and I've been really happy with how I've been doing for the last year, 2 years, because I really feel like I've been making progress in myself and in how I deal with things.
Right. That's great to hear. From what I understand, it takes a long time to fine-tune and readjust medications before they're just
right.
Oh, gosh,
yes. Because when you're, let's say you want to switch from one medicine to another, you have to wean off of one, which takes a couple weeks to a month, and then you have to wean onto the next one slowly, gradually, so your body doesn't like go into shock and freak out. So it's really a process. And then, you know, every new medicine that you start, it always takes like a few weeks to a month to see how it's going to affect you. So it's really time consuming to do that.
Some people, when they get diagnosed, it's like a terrible, crushing thing. And some people, when they get diagnosed, it's a relief. So where are you on that spectrum? What was it like when you were officially diagnosed?
I felt like I finally have an answer to what's been going on with me.
So yours was more of a relief?
More of a relief. Well, okay. I mean, I wouldn't say a relief, but it was good to know what the heck is wrong with me. I have answers, and not only do I have answers, I have solutions. I'm a very solution-oriented person. If there's a problem placed in front of me, I want to go at it and figure it out. So not knowing what was going on with me was very difficult for a long time. And finally, saying, hey, there's a label for this. You're not the only one going through this. That was really wonderful.
That probably goes right along into your current work. You said in just a couple weeks you'll be working at the school for 2 years.
Yes.
So tell me about that. What was that like? It seems like you got your bachelor's and then your master's. This seemed to be a passionate part of your life. What got you started down that path?
Well, along with my mental health, I also have a visual impairment, so I went through the special education system through school, and I just wanted to give back to that and to be a role model for students with exceptionalities, because I don't like the term disability. And so I think somewhere around eighth grade, I decided that I want to be a teacher, and I've been working towards that pretty much ever since, and now have realized that goal.
I'm sure when you're finishing, when you're going through your degrees, there's work you do in classrooms.
Yes.
But when you finally got officially a job and started just staying with those kids, how was it? Was anything unexpected or certain challenges?
I definitely struggled a little bit with the balance between being the authority figure for those students and being the educator and also being compassionate at the same time. That was a huge struggle for me. How do I find the balance between being kind and caring and sensitive to the needs of my students, but also not being their friend, quote unquote?
I understand you recently started working full time. What's that like?
It's definitely a change. It's not a change in my job responsibilities. There's just more hours. I'm doing the same thing I was before. I'm just doing more of it. But it's mentally exhausting is what it is. You know, for 8 hours straight, I'm having to be my best, my most professional self. I can't slip up. But it's worth it. And the reason I started working full-time is because my next goal is to start saving up for a house.
That is exciting.
Yeah, it's going to take me a few years for sure, mm-hmm. but I'm getting started on it now.
As you've been working full-time, and like you said, there's a little, the job hasn't changed, but the magnitude of the stress has. Like you've mentioned, there's bipolar and borderline personality disorder, and you have vision problems. Do you feel anything straining, or are you still solid as a rock?
I'm still pretty solid. Okay. I think the first couple weeks that I was working full-time, I did get a little more unbalanced. It definitely did come out in the home life a little bit. I got a little more cranky at my roommate and stuff. But now that I'm getting more used to the stress, I'm evening back out again.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you mentioned, that you finally found a good balance to medication and that mm-hmm. therapy is great. And I think if I was teaching children full-time, I would probably need both of those. So other people that maybe have any number of one of your challenges, or not disabilities, what do you call them?
Exceptionalities.
Exceptionalities. Anyone with your kind of exceptionalities, do you have any advice to give them? Anyone who's trying to live a productive, happy life while trying to cope with those things?
Ask for help. Because I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing without my support systems, without my doctors, without my counselors, without the lovely people here at Compass House, because I need my support system to be able to function the way I do. And there's nothing wrong with asking for help. I think it takes a lot of strength to ask for help. So go ahead and do that. But also, regardless of what's going on in your life, whatever kind of special need or exceptionality you have, don't let that stop you. As a teacher of students with special needs, I believe that each of them is capable of being successful with the right kind of supports. I believe everybody is capable of being successful and reaching their goals as long as they have that support. So I don't want you to let anybody tell you can't do something, because I believe in everyone's abilities to do things that they want to do.
That is Southern Oregon Compass House member Anastasia in conversation with Remington Jarvie at Compass House in recent weeks. This is Compass Radio on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. We have now with us Elizabeth Hazelwood, Compass House Executive Director, back in the chair. Good to have you in the studio once again.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Galen Thurow joins us as well. She's the Compass House Outreach Coordinator. A couple of things here. The relief in diagnosis that we hear consistently through the people interviewed here. And it sounds like it's not just in knowing for yourself, but in also knowing that you're not alone. It seems like to be a huge part of the experience that we're hearing from the people at Compass House.
Absolutely. When you begin to first experience symptoms, you feel that. You feel alone. You feel different. You feel separated, and that no one understands what you're going through. And coming to the realization that there are people that are going through the same things and can support you and love you and be there for you every day, and that you're not alone, is a huge relief.
We were talking before we came out to the studio about medication. Galen Thurow, we were talking about this with you as well. The idea that it takes a while to find the right combination of medications, but over time, body chemistry can change even for physical ailments. Do people sometimes find they have to go back and get things readjusted later on?
That's absolutely something that happens. Medication, as you may know, is going to treat everybody differently as they're, you know, individuals. Everyone's going to have different effects and potential side effects. Medications, you know, it is a long time getting through, you know, figuring out what's going to work best for you, weighing the differences between the side effects, potential side effects, and whether that's something that you feel you can deal with, or if it's too much of a stressor, potentially finding a new medication that has less side effects. But sometimes you end up taking more medications to manage the side effects. So it is really kind of a delicate balance of trying to figure out what's going to work best for each individual. It can take some time for sure.
A lot of components and a lot of things to figure out with drug interactions. And
yeah,
like
absolutely.
Anastasia talks about exceptionalities, not disabilities. Elizabeth, that probably does make you smile. I can see that. You wish more people thought that way about mental illness?
Absolutely. And she is a fantastic example of someone that kind of breaks the mold of what people tend to think of as people living with mental illness. She does have a master's degree. She has accomplished so many things in her life and does it with this amazing positivity and resiliency. When she was waiting to hear whether or not she was going to get this job, she was sitting there talking about how exciting it was and to finally be given an opportunity to do what she's always wanted to do. And, you know, that's something that we all want to be able to do and realize. And she does it with such a great positivity, and she's such a fantastic support system for anyone that knows her.
When she was talking about the stresses of work and feeling a little unbalanced at times, and I just wonder for somebody who's been dealing with mental illness, if that's a hard sweet spot to find, getting to divide between this is stuff that anybody would feel at work versus stuff that I feel because of my situation.
I think it's one of those things that people need to be just really self-aware about. When she was going to be switching to full-time, she had a conversation about what she was concerned about and how she went to go see her doctor, and she talked it through and she weighed it out because it is a huge life change. Working is hard for all of us, and especially when you go from having, you know, 20 hours a week to working full time, that's a big jump. And it can be emotionally exhausting and stressful for anyone. But then also making sure that it was something that she was ready for. And, you know, she thought through what it was going to be like and decided to give it a shot and is now excelling.
That was a big point she made, though. Ask for help. I mean, this is probably something that gets talked about at Compass House mm-hmm. a lot, I would think. Ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. how are we supposed to know that? How to support you if you can't ask. And we understand that that is sometimes difficult, but we're really working towards at least communicating with our members to please ask for help. We're here to support you in every way that we can.
So we want to reiterate, Compass House is not a therapeutic place. You don't actually have therapists there. But so then what happens if somebody says, I do need something. I need something other than what is available right here at the house.
We have amazing partnerships with the clinicians in the area. And we can serve as advocates and sometimes get people in for appointments sooner. We can reach out and say, hey, this person is really, really struggling. We're trying to help them stay out of the hospital. And our clinical partners make sure that they take that seriously and get people in sooner whenever possible. And that's why the beautiful partnership works.
The constant stigma that still comes with mental illness, somebody would help a person who fell on the sidewalk and banged their knee or something, but I don't think people still know quite what to do when they encounter somebody with mental illness. What would be some steps?
Just have a conversation. The first thing is you can't help if you don't ask, whether it's a loved one or a neighbor. If you are thinking there might be something going on, just ask.
All right. Great advice, as always. Compass Radio is a regular feature here of the Jefferson Exchange. Remington Jarvie interviews members of the House for us once a month. Then we get to chat with Elizabeth Hazelwood, and this month as well, Galen Thurow, who is the Outreach Coordinator. Elizabeth Hazelwood is the Executive Director. Thank you both for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange for Compass Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.